scripture reading this morning, turn to the book of Ruth, the second chapter, Joshua, Judges, then the book of Ruth, and in the Scofield Bible, page 316. Be reading verses 1 through 8 of the second chapter of Ruth, and we'll read these verses responsively. May we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's word. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. The 8th verse is the text verse. And let's pray. Father, we praise thee for this day. We're thankful for church. We're thankful for the First Baptist Church of Hammond. And my, what a blessed privilege is ours to be here in this place where so much goes on and so many things that are to thy glory, we believe. Thank you for the many, many blessings that are ours every time we come inside these walls. And today we look to thee now for thy blessing, for thy help, for the message that thou hast given to our preacher that he might minister to us, his people, and thy people. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
They ruin my sermons because I get my mind off what my sermon's all about, and get where I want to preach on something else all of a sudden. I'd like to preach on Jesus, lover of my soul, right now. That's marvelous. Thank you. Ruth was a young lady who was a widow. She was living, and I'll not go into the story, she was living, or deep into the story, she was living in a country that was not her own. She was poor. She was a widow. She had no livelihood. In that country that was not her own, they had a rule or law that the poor people and or the widow and or a stranger, which gave her all three rights to do so, could glean in the fields. Now, what that meant was that as the harvest was reaped, the harvesters would, of course, leave a few of the sheaves, and the poor people and the widows and the strangers in the land had a right to follow them. And wherever they could find a little wheat or a little barley or whatever they were harvesting, they had a right to pick up that which had fallen from the hands of the men who were bringing in the harvest. Of course, that was a sort of a penury way to make a living. There were not many sheaves to be found in the gleanings. But the man who owned this particular piece of ground loved Ruth. And he said to his men in the harvest field, he said, drop a few on purpose for Ruth. Just take a little bit every once in a while and drop it and let her glean extra sheaves. This is not the best way to find food to eat, coming and just taking the gleanings. And I'm sure that Ruth would see those men harvesting the crop and see them with their arms filled with sheaves. And I'm sure that she wished that she too could have the main harvest, but that was not for her. But thank God she didn't have to starve. She could get a few sheaves that were a part of the gleanings. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, just keep on gleaning. Just keep on gleaning. We're not in heaven yet. We will be there. And when we're there, for example, this book will be unveiled to us as it is. You know, I've been thinking about a scripture all week. And that's the last verse of the Gospel of John that said there are many other things that Jesus did. Said if we wrote them all down, the worlds couldn't contain the books. Folks, that's a heap of books. I mean, if all the worlds, I mean, this earth and Mars and Venus and the moon and the stars, stack all the things that Jesus did, put it in a book, and all the worlds couldn't hold. You think we're not going to have a lot of fun finding out what all the things he did? I mean, I'm convinced that they're Bibles we haven't read yet. Don't misunderstand me. This is the complete revelation of God in this book here. But we just have the gleanings. I mean, we're going to get the whole harvest one of these days. But the fact that we can only have the gleanings doesn't mean we shouldn't still try to reap. Just keep on gleaning. Father, bless the message this morning. I'm a needy sinner like everybody else. My body is made of flesh. And I have weaknesses caused by this coat of flesh. And I need your help today. Give us what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. A preacher recently in Florida walked up to me and he said, Dr. Hiles, I love to hear you preach. He said, the truth is, when I hear you preach, everything's just all right. But he said, I got a problem. I said, what is it? He said, why is it I come to hear you preach? I get all fired up. And then he said, the fire gradually goes out. And I find myself sliding back again where I was. He said, what causes that? Why is it that I can't be all the time like I am when I hear you preach? Why can't I keep the same zeal and the same fervor and the same devotion and the same promises to God? Why can't I? I find myself after hear you preach, I love the Bible and dig in it. But he said, I gradually drift away from the Bible and I gradually drift away from the prayer closet. And he said, Brother House, what is it? What could I do? Is there an answer? And I said, that's easy. Sure there's an answer. One word. S-C-H-E-D-U-L-E. Schedule. That's it. I mean, you just schedule it. I don't read the Bible because I burn when I read it. I read it because I have set time in my schedule to read it. I don't pray because I always like to pray. I pray because I've got time set in the schedule to pray. You see, listen carefully. The greatest things of life do not beg for time. The greatest things of life do not incidentals beg for time. The top things on the priority list do not beg for time. I mean, the Bible, God never says, you haven't spent much time with me lately. God never says that. Your wife says that. Or your mama says that. Or the kids say that. But God never says that. God never said, why don't you spend more time with me? No, God doesn't do that. You see, the top things in life never, listen now, they never seek your attention.
I mean, the Bible never says,
you never read me anymore.
Bible never says that. Why? Because I'm talking about the things that are the big league thing, the biggest thing. Now, I'm not saying it's not important to spend time with your family. Don't misunderstand me about that. But I'm saying that the things that are most important by their degree of importance also lessen in the degree of pleading with you for time. God never said, how about some time? I want some time too. God never says that. And the Bible never says, hey,
the other night I came home Tuesday night, home nothing, came back to my room, and there were two things on the dresser. There was a Reese's peanut butter cup, and right beside that, there was an apple.
And that Reese's peanut butter cup started talking to me. And it said, pay me some attention. And the apple was deaf and dumb. Didn't say a word. Deaf mute. Apple never said, eat me. Peanut butter cup said, eat me, eat me, eat me, eat me, eat me, eat me.
And I always like to grant special requests. Ask of me. So I granted that request.
But I'm saying, the truth is, I ate them both. I mean, the honest truth is, there wasn't no thing about that apple spoke to my heart. That beast peanut butter kept talking and talking and talking and talking. Why? Because the piddling things in life, the incidentals in life, reach out and say, spend some time with me. Take me. Use me. Eat me. Spend some time with me.
But the main things in life never do that. Your prayer closet never says, come and see me. Never says that.
No, sinners never say. You ever have a lost person, unsaved person call you on the phone and say, why don't you come by my house? I mean, you visited everybody else. Why don't you come by my house and talk with me? Sinners don't do that. Why? Because soul winning is the biggest thing on the face of God's earth. And the big things never demand your attention. The big things are done by people who have character to schedule them, to do them, because they're supposed to do them. Bible never begs for your time. Prayer never begs for your time. Soul winning never begs for your time. Prayer closet never begs for your time. I'm saying, God never said, give me some time. God never says that. Hey, do you know that the greater the person, the greater the person, the heart, the less they'll beg for your time. This same is true with great people. I was this week with Dr. Lee Robertson. I was so glad to be with him. Not with him often, but I'm so glad to be with him up in Delaware at the National Bus Convention. And he and I spoke together three times. He spoke and three times I spoke. And Dr. Robertson never said to me, oh, by the way, he's 73 years old now, almost 74. And think of that vast, been pastoring the same church over 40 years. Been preaching 55 years. Think of that vast collection of knowledge and of truth he must have in that brain of his. And I picked it and picked it and picked it and picked it. And you know what? He picked mine and picked mine. Didn't take him very long, but he picked mine. I wouldn't pick yours, Brother Ray. I picked your brain. I picked somebody else's. But anyway, But Dr. Robertson, he didn't say, Dr. Brother Hiles, why don't you ask me some questions? But I'll guarantee you one thing. There are two or three little half-wits that wanted to talk to me all the time I was in Delaware. I mean, they kept saying, they were just, a quarter wits. And they bothered the fire out of me. Dr. Robertson never said, ask me some questions. But boy, I had about three little half-wits that knew everything. And they wanted to tell me everything. And if I didn't preach something exactly right, they wanted to tell me. But Dr. Robertson didn't beg for my time. Why? Because he's a great man. You know what? You know that great people, you often feel like they're intruding and they will not clamor for personal attention. And that means if you pick great minds, you'll plan to pick great minds. And if you read great books, hey, you go down to the library and you see what talks to you. Browning won't say a word to you. No, it's that little magazine that put a picture on the front. That's one that says, read me. And brother, if you read in that library the books you ought to read, you'll read it because you do it on purpose, because great books do not seek attention over lesser books, and great minds do not seek attention over lesser minds, and great people do not seek attention over lesser people, and great things do not seek attention over lesser things. I'm saying you've got to get out in the field like Ruth did and say, by cracky, I'm going to glean. It's not much fun to glean. I'll pick a weed here and a weed there and a bug here and a bug there and a worm here and a worm there and a snake here and a snake there. But bless God, occasionally I'll get a sheep. And one little sheep that I get makes it worthwhile to glean. Let me tell you something. If there's one success, one cause, a reason for the success, or whatever success this little preacher has, it's because I have, through these years, I've been gleaning all the time. I'm always trying to, listen, if I've got 10 minutes in an airport, I'll go to the bookshelf, and I'll go past those little sexy love stories, and I'll try to find some book somewhere that's worth somebody's biography. And if I've got 10 minutes, I'll buy the book, and I'll read 50 pages of it or so in a few minutes, and try to, what? I'm trying to find one little truth. Why, my soul, I've written books on one line I've gotten in somebody else's book. Always gleaning. And that's why when I go somewhere preaching, I don't care if a church has 200 in Sunday school. I don't care if it's a country church. There's something that preacher knows I don't know, and I've got to find out what it is. And if I've got 5 minutes in the office before the service, I browse through his library. I mean, he's got some sermon notes on the desk. I read them. I walk up and down the hallways of departments and buildings, and walk in departments and classes. I look on blackboards. I pull out drawers and desks in Sunday school departments. What am I doing? I'm gleaning. I may have to go through 10,000 pieces of chalk and 40,000 erasers, 75,000 paper clips, but I'm gleaning. I've got to learn. I've got to always say, what can I learn? What does he know I don't know? What truth can I learn? And ladies and gentlemen, this is a great big old world down here. We do not have what someday we'll have, or know what someday we'll know when the mist have rolled away. But bless God, God lets enough truths drop out of the sky in heaven so we can glean. And that way when I get to heaven, I won't feel like a stranger. I'll have gleaned enough truth that God dropped out of the sky, so I'll feel at home when I get there. You see, I said to my class a while ago, Every enjoyment of life costs something. The proper enjoyments are paid for before you enjoy them. And the wrong enjoyments are paid for after you enjoy them. Lovers lane enjoyments, and they are enjoyments, but they'll be paid for later. But if you want the richest part of life, and the best part of life, and the right part of life, you glean and glean and glean and glean and glean and glean and pay and pay and pay. And a lot of these little freshmen, Dwight L. Moody's in Hiles Anderson College. These little fellows, that the sun comes up in the morning to hear you crow. I mean, they come to school one semester, and then they're going to go out and set the woods on fire. What do they want? They want the enjoyment now. And not the gleaning now. But if you become the best you can become, you will pay for it first. Young people, listen, never take shortcuts. Never take shortcuts. Never. Never. You put the foundation down and brick on brick on brick on brick on brick on brick and build it right. And then you will pay for it first, and the enjoyment will come later. That's what it means in Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We want the joy now, the tears later. But here, I'll tell you what, you get the joys now that are wrong joys, you get the tears later. But you get the right joys, the tears come first, and then the joy comes second. You know, you pick up a questionable magazine, and the excitement may come immediately. I'm talking about what's that woman's magazine has all those not woman's home companion. I'm not trying to trick you. Cosmopolitan, yeah. Now, you pick up a Cosmopolitan magazine and read it. I never have. Or Playboy, I never have. But you pick up something like that trash and rot and filth, pick that up, and I'm not going to say you won't enjoy it. I'm not going to say. I mean, you got the flesh there with you, just like I got my flesh with me. I'm not going to say you won't enjoy it. Tell you what you do. You pick it up now, and you enjoy it, and then the lust comes, and the sin comes, and the payment will come later. And, brother, you're going to pay. You're not going to have enjoyment without paying for it. Now, you take it now, you'll pay later.
But you pick up the Word of God.
Now, I'm not going to say that you're going to enjoy it at first. It's going to cost you something. I mean, you got to read it, and read it, and read it. And go to sleep a little bit and shake, and make yourself do it. But I'll bind you one thing. If you're a child of God, and you'll spend enough time in this book, you'll get to the place after you paid the price, God will say, I believe he's going to read it. And God will send an angel, said, take a little chip off the golden streets and drop it down there as a nugget on earth. Let him have it. All of a sudden, you'll see a great truth, and you'll say, glory to God. I was on the airplane the other day, and I said, praise the Lord! And the fellow beside me said, what's wrong with you? And the stewardess came and said, can I help you, sir? I said, I've been helped. Praise the Lord! What is it? I've been reading the Bible. I didn't see any pictures. It didn't flash on up. But all of a sudden, God gave me a great truth. And then comes the joy. You see, you talk to a movie star. I've talked to a few of them on airplanes and it gave them a great thrill. But you talk to a movie star, and I'll be honest, I met James Stewart one time, and I tingled when I shook his hand. I mean, the right kind of tingle. I thought of it, clarify that just a little bit. I mean, I don't know why, but the guy's a great actor. Don't worry about that. Great actor. And enjoyment came immediately. But what you do, you talk to God this afternoon, and you may not like it for a while. You may not. But you keep on because you're supposed to. You just glean and glean and glean and keep on talking. And one of these days God's going to say, hey, Gabriel, go down there and give him an answer. And all of a sudden from the sky is going to drop a great blessing from God Almighty. And then the gleaning pays off and it's worth it all. You listen to some comedian and you'll have fun immediately. You go to church and you hear a preacher and you go to sleep and you wake up and you go to sleep and you wake up and keep on listening, keep on listening. And about 35 minutes later, he says something that's good. And you say, wow, boy, oh boy. Now with me, it doesn't take 35 minutes, 35 seconds. But you say, man alive, that's great. You see, what is it? I'm saying that the world says, have fun now. And the rest of your life, you'll pay for it. And God says, pay for it now. I'll give you fun the rest of your life. So I just keep on gleaning. And occasionally as I glean, a crumb falls from the table where someday I shall feast forever. And I just keep on gleaning. And occasionally while I'm gleaning, a ray leaks through from the city of no night that makes me just keep on gleaning to get one more little ray after a while. And I keep on gleaning, and soon a petal falls from the rose of Sharon in the garden where I shall soon live. And I just keep on gleaning. And occasionally an echo comes from heaven's music, and it falls on my ears in just one little bar of heaven's music makes me say, I'd like to hear that again sometime. And I keep on gleaning, and I keep on gleaning. And then someday, bless God, I'll get to heaven. We're here all the time, and I'll know how to appreciate it when I get there. Occasionally, a few of Eskel's grapes come across my taster, and I realize that if I just keep on gleaning, I can get a few of Eskel's grapes until I get in the promised land, can eat them as a regular thing. Occasionally I pan one nugget that chips off the golden streets of glory, and I say, okay, I'll just keep on. Listen, well, I know fellows that, I've talked to fellows who've gone to Alaska and panned for gold. And they'll pan for days and weeks and months. I know folks up there for years kept on panning, didn't find any. And then all of a sudden one time, a real nugget of gold came. Let me tell you something. I've got a book here that we do not understand right now. I've got a book that someday we'll know in its fullness, but until we know it, they're golden nuggets that God will give you if you'll spend enough time gleaning and panning. Occasionally I get enough answers to my prayers to where I want to just keep on praying. And I gleaned such a truth from the blessed book. I want to just keep on gleaning. And sometimes I get a small glimpse of those reapers with whom I have once gleaned. And I just want to keep on gleaning until I join them. He gives us enough, if we keep on gleaning, to make us not satisfied here. To prevent us from being a stranger there. To make me want to keep gleaning while I'm here. I want to tell you something today. I'm 56 years old. I've been around a while. I've talked to a lot of people. Nobody has had any more young people. They've pastored more young people in the history of the United States of America and probably in the history of the New Testament church. Nobody has ever pastored as many young people as the man you're listening to right now. I mean, Paul never pastored as many teenagers as I pastored, and Peter didn't, and Charles Spurgeon didn't, a greater man than I. But I probably have pastored more young folks than any man in the world. And I want to serve notice on you today. Young people, you go ahead and have your fun now, and you're going to pay for it the rest of your life. But if while you're young, you'll pay the price. I'm talking about purity. I'm talking about decency. I'm talking about study. I'm talking about preparation. One of these days, you'll have your joy. And I'd rather glean his sheaves than to harvest the world's weeds. And I'd rather get an occasional glimpse of him than to gaze on earth's counterfeits in Hollywood. And I'd rather eat a few crumbs from heaven's bread than to gorge on the garbage from earth's kitchen where heathen chefs prepare this world's dying delicacies. And I'd rather glean the fields of Bethlehem than to harvest the whole fields of Moab. And I'd rather have a drop of heaven's dew than to swim in Moab's puddles. And I'd rather have a little of the real than bushels of the counterfeit. I want to say what I've said so often, buddy, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. He's a liar when he says the world has more fun than Christ does. He's a liar when he says the tavern has more fun than the church does. He's a liar when he says that dope will get you higher than Jesus will. He's a liar when he tells you that the bright lights of this world are greater than the light of the world, which is Jesus. He's a liar! He's a liar! He's a liar! Let me tell you something. You just glean and glean and glean and glean and glean. Every once in a while, just get one little foretaste of glory. I'll guarantee you one thing, buddy. There's more joy in that than a whole harvest of this old world.
Then there came the evening time. Ruth has gleaned all day. Many a weed has gone through her fingers. Just trying to find that next sheaf that was dropped by the harvesters. Many a bug or spider has bit her on the finger, or she's thrown them down. Many a piece of eastern soil has gone through her fingers as she's reaching, trying to find just one little sheaf. And as she wades through the weeds and wades through the soil and wades through the stones of Judea in Bethlehem fields, to get one little sheaf. It's all over now. The time has come. The evening shadows have fallen. And guess who comes to see Ruth? Boaz. One of the greatest pictures of Jesus in the entire Bible. The Bible says when evening came, Ruth fell at Boaz's feet. And he fell in love with her and they got married and lived happily ever afterwards. And she who was willing to glean not only got the harvest, but she got the fields the harvest was grown in. And she got the guy who owned the field. Just keep on gleaning. Just keep on gleaning. And then one day, we'll lay at Jesus' feet at evening time and own the fields and the harvest and the Savior. But now wait a minute. It all happened because she decided back yonder several days ago to come to Canaan.
Her sister-in-law, Orpah, said, I'll stay here. But Ruth said, I'll go. I'll go. And that's what the Christian life is all about. The Christian life. Listen,
Shakespeare blushes when he hears those words read. Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to thee, and more also, but death part thee and me. Shakespeare bows his head and says, I was a kindergarten poet compared to that. And when Ruth said, I'll make my decision. I'll follow Jesus. I'll go to Canaan. Thy God shall be my God, she said. Thy people shall be my people, she said. Where thou goest, will I go, she said. Where thou diest, will I die, she said.
And she made that decision to become a Christian. She didn't get the harvest all at one time. She had to glean. And she gleaned. A second-rate citizen to the harvesters, but she kept on gleaning. And she kept on gleaning until that day when the one in whose field she had gleaned claimed her for his own. And she became his, and he hers. And so until my eyes behold him, of whom I've preached, and of whom I've talked, and of whom I've spoken, and of whom I've witnessed for these years, I'll just keep on leaning till light breaks through. I'll just keep on leaning in the book. Because one little nugget that drops out of this book is better than all the 10 mines that the world has to offer. And one little morsel that falls from heaven's table, but just keep on leaning, is better than all the pizza the world's got to offer. And one little ray of light from the city where it beats all of the artificial lamps the world has to offer. Father, bless the message.